Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Byers & Company. This hour, Dr. Paul Frigo joins us from Decatur Public Schools. We'll talk about their strategic planning that's been going on, plus Coach stops by, and Alec Baldwin had a meltdown.
Again?
That's surprising, isn't it? Get into it next. Stay tuned.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I've told you my Alec Baldwin plane story, right?
Yeah.
Kevin and I were going out of spring training, and we had a weird flight. Like, we were going from, like, St. Louis to New Jersey to
Florida. I didn't book that
Florida.
One.
Yeah, that was Tammy, I think. And we get to New Jersey, and, you know, you can tell, like, if you're in a public crowd when something's going on, you just sort of feel like there's, like, a rustle,
yeah.
You know?
The energy and
yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
And so it was clear, like, from the... You know, that there was something going on, and it was Alec Baldwin. And the woman he's with now, right? I don't know if he's married to her, dark-haired gal.
No idea.
Looks like his granddaughter. so that was, she was with him, but at that time, I don't know that anybody knew about her. And this is right after he had the incident where he got thrown off the plane. Do you remember? He wouldn't put his phone away or whatever. And so we get on the plane, and the flight attendants are talking about it, and there he is. He's right there. He looks different in person. I don't know what they do to people in movies that causes them to look different than they do, but everybody I meet, like, in person always looks different than they do on screen, if that makes any sense.
Makes sense.
They have big heads, too. Tell me about a big head and, like, being on the big screen.
Then you should be famous.
I should be. Although I would tell you that celebrity exception is Rob Lowe, who is still the prettiest human being I've ever met. And he is.
Wow.
Truly. Anyway, Alec Baldwin with another meltdown. We'll give you the details on that. At this point, it's just funny with him, right? I mean, it's not earth-shattering. It's not Harvey Weinstein stuff. There's no victims. He just goes goofball.
Yeah.
And what he was screaming at this guy was funnier than anything. That coming up in just a little bit. Dr. Paul Frigo joins us. Coach is in every Thursday. He's kind of the guy who wanders out of the nursing home, you know, and they put out the Amber Alert, and they find
Silver
it.
Alert.
Is it a silver alert? Yes. Is it a different alert? He just doesn't know what to do himself. This is his Thursday, right? So
right.
If we tell him no, you can't come in anymore, I don't know what would happen. He might.
It screws up the rest of my week.
Quit living. I don't know. So we're really kind of his lifeline, and he comes in and hangs out
I
on Thursdays, and we're glad to see him. Dr. Paul Frigo is in from Decatur Public Schools, District 6. They've recently had strategic planning going on involving the community. I guess before I give this whole description, why don't you walk me through this process? What happened here?
Sure. We first of all, we went to our school board when I was being interviewed, and when I was looking at the researching this community, when they did the focus groups, a lot of people said we lacked a strategic plan and we needed to have a better focus. So one of the first things the board...
That was a very polite way of saying that. I think what they actually said was you need to get your head out of your rear end and start educating kids and stop with this nonsense. And they acted on that with the vote, and you've got a lot of new board members that came in. And so that now's a time for refocusing and changing and not just doing things because we've always done it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what we did was we invited 27 members of our community, not just educators, but we had parents there. Business folks, people from Millikan, a whole wide, tried to represent the entire community. And we met for three solid days on this, and came up with the five areas we're going to put action planning teams together to set the vision for the next 5 years. And those action planning teams are going to work for the next 5 to 6 months, bring it back to the strategic planning committee, and in May, April or May, and then take it to the board in late April or May as well. And that'll be our vision, our focus for the next 5 years.
All right.
People will know what we're going to emphasize.
Let's go over those five strategies as they are.
They
are before me here. Okay. We will ensure unique. And I've got five strategies I have for the show, too. We'll go over in the meeting after the program today.
Just no meltdowns.
Yeah,
please.
We will ensure unique, innovative learning experiences for all students. Now, some of these, I understand, will have to be kind of broad.
Right.
What does that actually mean?
Well, what we're going to look at is what we can do. It's going to be up to those teams, but what we can do to all the focus is to make us a destination district for the community.
Okay.
Okay? So, for example, that may be, Brian, a dual immersion school or a dual immersion K-12 throughout our district. So,
right.
Or it could be a gifted center. It just depends on what they come up with, what they're going to focus on as far as creating unique learning experiences for our kiddos.
And innovative to me means, you know, and tell me if I'm wrong, and I don't mean this to be a pejorative, but sometimes when teachers are around for a long time, there is a resistance, you know, to technology and change, and, you know, we've always done it this way. We don't live in the same world we lived in 10 years ago. I mean, it's just not.
Right.
I noticed last night when we were unveiling the sculpture, you know, that this local artist who put this together, this piece of art couldn't have been made 5 years ago. The technology wouldn't have existed.
Right.
And they're already partnering up with Millikan's Digital Arts program to be able to display their art on art. We have to embrace this. Right. When I was on the Public Schools Foundation board, I was notorious for just throwing Alec Baldwin fits whenever we were buying books. Why are we buying physical books? The right. world isn't, we're paying $60 a book. Isn't there an app for this? why are we not embracing right. technology? And innovative has to be that way, right? Yes. Because that's what parents are going to be looking for, because these three, four-year-old kids are playing with iPads.
Right. The kids see screens now, they want to touch them. You know, it's not, they don't want to watch, they want
to touch them. It's intuitive.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. So that's the type of thing we're talking about. The overall arching theme of this is we are not tweaking our current system. We are going to change our system to fit where our aspirational goals
are. So an overhaul, not a, okay.
We're not serving the system. The system's going to serve these goals.
All right. Number two, we will ensure a student-focused environment that expands learning beyond the traditional expectations to engage students. What does that mean to you?
Learning environments can be adjustment of facilities. It could be do we have outdoor classrooms where kids can explore and learn? What can we utilize? Are there spaces in our community outside the walls of a traditional school where learning can occur? So you are right. They are general. I don't want to.
No, I just want you to give an idea of what conceptually what you see. Yeah. And obviously that will evolve and it will be fluid.
Right.
We will establish a support network that will identify and address students' physical, social, emotional, and mental health needs to allow each student to reach their full potential. I read this and I hear that you've got a lot of kids in your 9,000-plus kid district that are not maybe getting those support things from home, that are coming to you damaged in a number of ways. I mean, we have kids growing up in inner cities in this country that have the same post-traumatic stress level as like returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. Yes. And I know that that's hard for people to believe. And if your life is fortunate enough to not have that, be count your blessings and hug your kids a little tighter tonight, because there are a lot of kids in our community that are starting in a hole.
They're starting in a deficit situation, and how are we going to bridge that gap? So what we're talking about here is possibly on-site medical care on the school, a dental care,
and I know
psychological
trust
help.
Me, I, listen, there's plenty of people that will jump up, and Coach, you'd probably, if your generation, and once again, not to be pejorative, but well, when I was growing up, you know what? That doesn't matter. Do you want to pay on the front end and create productive citizens, or do you want to pay on the back end for life? Because one's an investment in our future, and the other one is just a bill that will be there forever.
Right. If a kid's in pain from dental care, dental issues, or is hungry or sick all the time, as we talked before about the food drive, we got to take care of those basic needs for kids to be able to learn. And that's in the entire communities.
How do you deal as a guy? I don't know your age. I guess I can ask you right now.
Yeah.
I'm not interviewing you for a job.
54 next month.
54. Okay. Well, you don't look 54.
Well, thank you.
But you and I are roughly the same age, in that we have a foot in both worlds. You know, we have what we have now, but we remember when we didn't have it.
Right.
And social media, to me, is a heinous place, or can be. It can also be a great tool for sharing information, but how do you deal in 2017 with the bullying that goes on, the awful, god-awful behavior? We know how adults act on social media. I can't imagine. I mean, I remember what it was like to be 14, you know, and you're awkward and you're trying to figure out who you are, and you've got peer pressure, and you have. I can't imagine 14 and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. How do you do that?
Well, you got to focus. Go back to focusing on respect for everyone. Everyone has an innate value. Everybody deserves dignity. And you got to get down to those, still the basic values that were there when you and I were going to school, Coach was going to school, and try to emphasize those things, respect for everyone.
Yeah, but how do you, just as a superintendent, as a district, monitor it? figure it out, keep people from, I mean, you know, these are your students. They're there from X to Y in a daytime, but this stuff exists 24/7. It comes back with them the next day when they arrive at school.
Right.
I just want to imagine that is an exhausting part of running
be.
A school
it
district.
It can be, but it's part of what you have to do to make sure the learning environment's positive for the kids. You know, we have people that are aware of what's going on Facebook or Twitter or whatever kids are using nowadays. And yes, it does bleed into the schools.
Yeah, it really does.
But our people
are
really good at
identifying rumors and so do things that aren't true and so do like fake news. I mean, you have to deal with all of that.
Yeah, you have to try to be as proactive as possible and try to intercede and help the kids problem solve. Let's talk about it's communication, it's mediation, and help the kids work through the issues before it becomes a real violent or serious one.
All right, number four, we will attract and retain talented and invested staff by ensuring they feel valued and supported. How do you do that under the current system of tenure and teacher contracts? I work in a crazy industry, but I look at sometimes, and I'm not trying to get you in any hot water with the unions, but when you get a young teacher who comes in that may be lighting up the world, you know, brand new into this, they're put at the bottom of the list to be hired next year simply based on how long they've worked.
Well, that can be the process, but what we talked about in this is our teachers want to succeed. They want to help kids.
I don't doubt that. But in a tenured system, that talent level doesn't matter. It's only how long you've been there. I mean, that is a reality. So you can put this category together, but is that really, you know, what do you do to, and I don't even mean circumvent it, but what do you do to ensure that young person you've hired that you think could light this place up for 15, 20 years, how do you make them know they're wanted even though the system is going to put them at the bottom of the list?
Well, we need to do a better job, and I'm going to admit, we need to do a better job of listening to them and finding out what they need. That was a very consistent message from both our community folks and our internal folks that we need to be better at identifying what our teachers need. A lot of our folks out there feel like they're on an island, and the district doesn't provide the proper support. So it's just that's why it bubbled up as one of the five main areas. We need to do a better job of supporting the brand-new teacher and the experienced teacher.
And I'm not saying that the experienced teacher is necessarily in the wrong here. I'm just saying that the system is just it's length of time versus energy and passion and talent.
Right.
And I think is a weak link in the chain. And it's not certainly unique to Decatur. I mean, it's just the way it's run. It's what you dealt with on the school board in Warrensburg-Latham.
Exactly.
It is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Retaining that talent and attracting that talent. That's why a lot of us are doing things like the sculpture park. I mean, we're trying to create a quality of life here so that you can go recruit the best teachers in the world to come live here in this community.
Right. And we've had numerous discussions about this with a variety of people. The current generation coming out into the job market looks for the community and what amenities they offer first.
And then the job.
Yeah. So what can we do to partner with the community to make this a great place for those folks to locate here?
Which is the final of the five strategies, creating and fostering mutual beneficial relationships throughout the community. I have said often, it goes back a long way. I remember when a school board president, it might have been Dan Winter. I can't remember. It wasn't Dan. Who's your president right now?
Dan Oaks.
Dan Oaks is who it was. Years ago, we were out on Pershing, so it's got to be more than 10 years ago. He came in, he was running for school board, and we had. I walked out to the lobby after the interview was over with him, and he was complaining. And I would say all of this right here to Dan, and yeah, there's never any positive news about the schools. And I said, Dan, we don't read minds. We don't have – I mean, we can't – if you don't tell us your stories, there's no way we can get your stories out. We don't know – what's happening in your buildings because you don't do a very good job of communicating it to us. And so out of that conversation came to be, I think it was Busey Bank at the time, sponsored a segment, and every Friday we spent a half hour talking about District 61, and telling success stories. I would say to you, you still have that challenge. Maria is a lovely, wonderful employee for you, and we get along great with her. But you still sometimes have to go look to try to find the stories. And I know they're there because I served 6 years on the Public Schools Foundation Board, and I got every month a chance to hear those stories. And we would move our meetings around the the district to have him at different buildings, and the principal would come in, and we'd learn about, oh, my God, these two MacArthur students are going to the New York Fashion Show, you know, because they want to be, you know, fashion designers. And I would not have known that
right.
From the general public. So I would challenge you from a media perspective and offer you at the same time all the help I can give you in doing this is that we've got to get we shouldn't be talking about District 61 only when a gun gets near a school or only when there's a scuffle at a football game. You know, we ought to be talking about it all the time.
Yes, you're definitely right. And we talked about that as well, that our internal and external community can be be our own worst enemy.
Yeah. That's the bureaucracy. That's what happens when you got something with 9,000 kids and all of the, you know, the bureaucracy sometimes can be inner focused rather than outer focused.
So we need to do a better job of doing that. And that's one of the things I talk about all the time. There are so many people willing to help in this district. I think the partnership thing will be just blow things out of the water.
Well, I think you'll find
we already have a base.
That there's a lot of people that have over the years tried or offered
and one of them.
Had a hard time getting through that bureaucracy. Well, no, I mean, it is what it is. So that'll be great. Now, also, here's my advice that I would give you. I don't certainly don't claim to know anything. You know, we know Johns Hill pretty well because of our involvement there, and that's a wonderful school. And it's a perfect example of what test scores don't tell you. You know, if you just look at how the government decides what's successful or not successful in education, they would tell you Johns Hill is a failure. I mean, you know, by test scores. What I can tell you is a handful of kids can make a building pass or not pass that test, and we are there by choice and have now been there 8 years and have had nothing but a wonderful experience. And so, I don't trust test scores. I know that's the game you guys have to live with, but teaching to the test is not working in our country. I mean, and I get, I had this conversation with President Bush's education secretary one time out in Washington, D.C. We were on a fly-in, and he goes, well, don't you believe that we have to, you know, have benchmarks? I go, yes, but when life only becomes about testing to the benchmarks, you know, you're losing a lot of opportunities, and the challenges. I mean, you have to educate every kid that comes into your school. You don't have a choice. It's not a private school where you can sort of pick. You have to have the capacity to do your best for all 9,000 of those kids. And your situation is not unique. Go to Peoria, go to Champaign, go to Bloomington. Right. I mean, it's everywhere. But I would look, if I were you, a place I would start. When I served on the Public Foundation Board, and I'm not going to name any names or any schools, but you could tell where all of the action was taking place by just the number of grant applications that were being sent in requesting funding for projects. And you had some teachers that every single year they were back.
Right.
And we had this philosophical debate. Do you try to spread it around more, or do you reward the people who are doing the hardest work? And I always said, absolutely reward the people. And we had buildings that we never heard from. Same district, same contract, same salaries, and you had schools that were hyperactive. And the tendency in life, and we saw this even with a few of the board members that aren't there, is to blame the ones that are doing the most. It's almost like, don't embarrass us. You know, and Dennis Lab was singled out, you know, and all these questions were, well, so why wouldn't you just want to replicate what was going on with Dennis Lab rather than criticizing them for doing too much?
Well, that's what stole a little bit of my thunder. That's what we need to do a better job of, is empower those folks that are our stars to become the leaders and the trainers for the other teachers. Say, hey, this is what I've done. This is what works. And we have the capacity within our organization to spread those abilities, but we just don't have a great system to make that happen right now.
All right, I've got to take a break. Dr. Paul Frigo is in the studios along with Coach. It's the Thursday edition of Byers and Company. Matt Hall will join us a little later. We had our second birthday workout.
He's not here today.
He's not? Okay, then we'll just talk about the video. Yeah. It's up on NowToKidder.com and the NowToKidder Facebook page. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Today we got a little bit of drizzle this morning, turning to cloudy skies and highs near 64 degrees. Then for tonight, cloudy, gradually clearing up and lows around 52 degrees. Friday, sunshine, highs near 78. Saturday, getting warmer, partly sunny, highs near 83. It's 57 degrees in downtown Decatur.
At the Y, what does your membership include? It includes over 25 group fitness and water aerobics classes, access to our wellness center, swimming in both our family and lap pools, free childcare while you work out, and that's just to name a few. Hi, I'm Abby Helm, membership director here at the Y. Come see why our members have been choosing us for over 140 years. Right now, all of our joiner fees are discounted to just $18.77. Stop in and take a tour today. 220 West McKinley Avenue, just across from DMH.
It's what we do. Bank on learning more. But what does it mean? At Land of Lincoln Credit Union, our members matter, and that's why we promote financial freedom regardless of whatever lifestyle event comes your way. Our staff will personally work with you to find the best outcome, whether it is helping you repair your credit or creating a budget for that new home or auto. Become a member today by simply living or working in one of our 26 counties. Federally insured by the NCUA. Land of Lincoln Credit Union. Bank on learning more.
Don't miss your chance to hear Decatur's own Andrea Fairchild, president of Kobe Incorporated, NBA star Kobe Bryant's global multimedia company. She was an international marketing force behind Nike and Gatorade and will present her message, Building Brands Through Sports, at this year's Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce annual meeting. Join Thursday, October 19th at the Decatur Conference Center and Hotel. Cocktails at 5 p.m., dinner at 6. For more information, visit DecaturChamber.com, sponsored by Brinkotter & Associates and Decatur Conference Center and Hotel.
In 2016, a fund was created for the Macon County Veterans Assistance Commission called Help for Heroes, a fund that provides assistance and items to needy veterans in Macon County that aren't covered by other agencies. Assistance such as bus passes, fans, warm coats in the winter, emergency meal cards, and even books for veterans wanting to continue their education. Every cent in the fund is used to help veterans, with none of it going towards administrative costs. To help this worthwhile cause, now Decatur and WSOY are collecting contributions now through Veterans Day for the Help for Heroes Fund. If we reach our goal of $25,000 by Veterans Day, the Howard G. Buffett Foundation will generously match those contributions 5-1. That's a total of $150,000 to help veterans right here in Macon County. To find out how to give, go to nowdecatur.com or call 423-9744. Help us reach our goal of $25,000 to help veterans right here in Macon County.
You're listening to Byers & Company, only on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Got a couple of minutes left here, Dr. Paul Frigo. I want to make sure that we do get out there. If you're interested in volunteering for one of these strategy groups, if one of these five sort of core things resonates with you or your expertise or what you bring to the table, how do people go about finding out about how to do that?
There's a variety of ways they can do that, Brian. If you're used to working with a website, you can go right to our website, and on the front page there's a link. It'll explain those five strategies.
That's dps61.org, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes.
dps61.org, and then you can give us your name and email and express what area you're interested in. You can also email us at welisten@dps61.org and express interest. You can contact Maria, the lady you referenced earlier.
Maria Robertson, then that telephone number is
362-3017.
Right.
And then Josh Peters is our internal facilitator for the program. You can call him at 362-3041. And those variety of ways people can express their interest.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate you coming in and getting into some of the details on this. We look forward to following it as it goes along. And best of luck.
Anytime you'd like an update on where we're at,
listen,
that'd be great.
As far as I'm concerned, you come in as often as you'd like. And we'll talk about the great stuff that's going on in District 61.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Coach, it was nice to meet you.
Yeah. Stick tight here. We're going to take a quick break for news and want to tell you about Help for Heroes, which is our second year in a row of doing this for veterans. If we raise $25,000 by Veterans Day, Howard Buffett's going to match it with a $125,000 gift. There's some great examples online if you go to nowdecatur.com of what that Veterans Assistance Commission is doing. Mostly veterans are down on their luck, and it's impossible for me to believe that we accept that in this country for people who have served. But you can help. Go to nowdecatur.com. Here's Jeff Daly.